This conference will now be recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
Welcome to the Reading Odysseys podcast, The Music of the Proper Names in Homer, A Guide to Pronunciation. This is Phil Terry, the founder of the Reading Odyssey, with James Rahm, professor of classics at Bard College, friend and board member of Reading Odyssey. Today we'll be talking about Greek names, names from Greek people and place names in particular, very important for first-time readers of these texts. They often, those first-time readers, get intimidated by the names or experience some doubt when sub-vocalizing. And part of the power and beauty of the poetry of Homer, as well as other ancient texts, comes from, of course, the music of the names. Professor James Rahm has faced this question when teaching his students at Bard College, where he has them read aloud sections of Homer, and that invariably causes them to have anxiety attacks because they don't know how to handle the pronunciation of the proper names. He's also faced this question when writing his recently published and well-reviewed book, Ghost on the Throne, the first real account for general readers about what happened after the death of Alexander the Great, a moment in history that many historians, not to mention average readers, know very little about, but was quite important in the development of the Hellenistic world and the later Roman Empire. So this podcast is intended for Reading Odyssey readers tackling Homer for the first time, and especially for those reading books 1 through 8 in the Iliad and preparing for their first session. So to begin, Professor Rahm, please share with us a couple of general rules about pronunciation.
Thank you, Phil. Yes, well, the first thing that readers of Homer or of any Greek literature should keep in mind is that there are no golden rules. There's no sort of overall key to pronunciation, and many experts will differ as to how they pronounce these names. So the first message is to relax and go with your instincts. You know, you mentioned my experience as a teacher asking students to read aloud, and many of them will come to a proper name and they'll pronounce it sort of hesitatingly and then look at me with a questioning look in their eyes as if to say, was that right? And a lot of times I don't know whether that was right or not because there is no hard and fast rule. So have confidence, be of good cheer, and don't feel intimidated when pronouncing names. The dilemmas that give readers the most pause are the vowel sounds, such as A-E and O-E, which occur often in Greek, but not very much in English. And I can only say that you have multiple choices with these sounds. For instance, the A-E sound, which occurs in the term Achaeans, the name for the Greeks in the Iliad. I've just pronounced it as an E sound, Achaeans, but in the original Greek, it would have been Achaeans, and many scholars will say Achaeans. So right there, you have three possibilities, and I really urge you just to go with the one that feels right to you. I tend to say Achaeans in that word, but in another word, in another name, I might pronounce the same sound as an I sound. So again, use your instincts. The OE sound in Phoenix, for instance, the counselor of Achilles, is generally pronounced as a long E, but in some words, it could be pronounced more like the Greek sound, which was oi. So I'll read a passage in a minute where the name Scoinus occurs, S-C-O-E-N-U-S, and to me, it feels right to say Scoinus rather than Skinus. But it would feel wrong to say Phoenix because we're so used to hearing Phoenix, partly because it's become a familiar place name in Arizona. Then there's the EU sound, which in the word Odysseus sounds like two syllables, but in Zeus sounds like one syllable. So again, one has to be eclectic, one has to use one's instincts and recognize that there are no hard and fast rules. One rule that is fairly reliable about Greek names is that final letters, final vowels like the final E are always pronounced as a separate syllable. So, for example, the name Andromache, which ends in an E, has a fourth syllable, and any name which ends in a final E. There are no silent E's in Greek, or any silent letters at all, in fact. The consonant C is always hard, like a K, and a CH sound is generally pronounced as a K also, but I would urge you to say it with a little bit of aspiration, as though you're clearing your throat, H. So, for example, calchas is maybe a little different than calcus. There's a little bit of an aspiration to the C sound, where you see a CH. The letters G and T are also always hard. The T is never a sh, even when it's followed by I-O. It's a T-O rather than a show, as we say in English sometimes. Now let me turn finally to the issue of stress in a multi-syllable name. For example, a four-syllable name. These are the ones that tend to give readers the most pause. And there are, once again, no hard and fast rules. So, for example, you see Agamemnon with its accent on the third syllable, but you also see Andromache with the accent on the second syllable. And fortunately, those two names are very familiar, so we know exactly where the accent falls. But there are many where you won't be sure, and here the meter of the poem will help you, because Stanley Lombardo has used a fairly strong 5-beat line, and the meter tends to tell you where the stress falls in a given word. My own rule of thumb is that in a 4-syllable name, the second syllable is usually going to get the stress. But of course, Agamemnon and Menelaus violate that rule, and there are other words which do also. Aphrodite, for example. A 5-syllable name, you generally have the pattern accent on the first and a lesser accent on the fourth. So, for example, Iphigenia or Iphianassa, those are 2 5-syllable names which have accents on both the first and fourth syllable. So here's a passage read aloud from page 35, and I picked this passage because it consists almost entirely of proper names. It's a good thing for readers of Homer to be aware that the poet was often using names as a kind of music, simply stringing them together in great lists, names of people or names of places, and it would be a great shame to miss that music by not pronouncing the names, by sort of bleeping over them because they feel too difficult. So here's a passage at the beginning of the catalog of ships that has a lot of names, and I have to say right off the bat, I'm not sure of the pronunciation of most of them. They're very obscure names. So I'm going to follow what the poem is telling me, what the translator is telling me about accentuation, where the stress falls, and I'm going to follow my eclectic rules as to what feels right about the pronunciation of vowel sounds. So, as Homer says, now I will call the roll of the ships. The Boeotians were led by Peneleus and Letus, with Arcesilaus, Protoenor, and Clonius. Their towns were Hyria, rocky Aulis, and Scoinus, Scolus, ridged Etonius, Thespeia, Graia, broad Mycalessus, Harma, Elysion, Erythrae, Elion, Hyle, Petion, Ocalia, Medion, Copai, Outrissus. Next page, page 36. Dove-coated Thisbe, Coronea, grassy Haliartus, Plataea, Glissos, lower Thebes, Onchestus, Poseidon with its grove and Arne, its vineyards, Medea, sacred Nyssa, and on the coast, and Thedon. So that's Homeric music made up entirely of names, and I've tried to replicate it according to my own lights, and I urge you to do the same.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that brief tutorial. So just to review, no single right way to pronounce most of these sounds. There are, however, some rules to keep in mind. Final vowels like final E are always pronounced as separate syllables. There are no silent E's. There are no silent letters. Consonant C is always hard, like a K. CH sound is generally pronounced as a K with a little bit of aspiration if you want to have some fun. G and T are always hard. T is never a sh, even followed by IO. And four-syllable names, often it's the second syllable, although Agamemnon and others violate that. But most importantly, there is no single right way, and to let the meter of the poetry help guide you. Professor James Rahm, this was very helpful, and I know it will help provide greater confidence to the readers tackling Iliad for the first time.
Good. I hope
Thank
so.
You.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Okay.